some examples of God's judgment on sin in the past. And his point is, if God did this in the past, he'd have to apologize to those people that he destroyed if he doesn't do it in the present. And it's like if you have a few children, and then with the first one or two, you're very strict, but then with the next couple, you're very liberal. They're going to get a little angry. Oh, you never let me do that. How can you let them do that? As a parent, you have to be consistent. And God is consistent. And he's not going to let one generation get away with certain sins because now we're in the 2000s and things are a little more liberal, so God is a little softer. No. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge his people. Vengeance is the Lord's, and they are not going to get away with it. So teachers, and he's addressing false teachers in this book, should not be messing around with God's word, changing it, saying there's no hell, this sin is okay, and getting kind of soft and lenient. They're going to pay a big price. And the sad thing is people follow that teaching, and they think that God changes with the times, with society. And so he gives them some examples, verse 4, and there's three examples here. And the first example in verse 4, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." So first example is God did not even spare the angels who were there before we were. He didn't even spare the angels who sinned, but he cast them out of heaven, down to hell, into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. That sounds like a pretty horrible thing. It starts at verse 4 with if God did this, and it ends in verse 9, this context, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. It ends with God knows how to take care of those people that were bad, but he also knows how to take care of those that are righteous. So there's good and bad here. Thank God we're in the righteous side. And these examples don't relate to us, but he's warning the people and the teachers. These angels, so he delivers, he rescues, but he also has judgment upon those that fall. Angels were created by God, and they are considered higher or superior to man in intelligence and power. They can do a lot of things that we can't do. You know, in Hebrews 2:7, it says we were a little lower than the angels. So we know how it goes in Hebrews 2:7. And there's a lot we don't know about the spiritual realm. Sometimes I try to think about how it will be in heaven. See my relatives and mom and everybody that passed away and say, it's going to be kind of weird, isn't it? It won't be weird when we're there, but to be there and see people you know. It cheers me up because I realize this isn't the end here. We're all going to see each other again. You say, oh, no. No, we're going to be happy. We're going to see each other again. Isn't that wonderful? And we don't have to worry about buildings or anything. There's a lot we don't know about principalities, powers, angels, which we read of in the Bible. You know, we aren't told about their creation, the angels. Just from the beginning, we just know they're there. In Jude 6, here's what he might be referring to. If you turn to the next to the last book of the Bible, Jude 6, Jude verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, left their place in heaven, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That great day where judgment is going to fall. So that's what he's probably referring to. They didn't keep their proper domain where they should be and what they should be doing. And they're reserved in everlasting chains. And he cast them down to hell, or Tartarus, the word is literally, the deepest abyss of hell. These angels that were given such a privilege. God judges rebellion, man or angels. The angels who were in heaven were cast out. Many believed, he's talking about those in Genesis chapter 6, 1 to 4. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, 1 to 4. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, which kind of refers to that, heavenly beings, the sons of God saw the daughters of men down here on earth, that they were beautiful. And it's like it said, they were cast down. They took wives for themselves, all of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. So there's a strange thing happening on this earth. Maybe when we get to heaven, we're going to see all the stories on all of this. It'll be good to understand it. But it seems they started cohabiting with human women, and sons born to them, and giants were born. We can't elaborate on it. That's all we have in the Bible. You know, that's all we understand about it. So it could be those. They were mating with earthly women, and this created these superhuman beings. And God didn't like it, and that's why he destroyed the earth. We'll get into that when we get into Noah. And so, but they were cast down, and so it tells us here, you know, since the beginning, God judged sin. He's not going to change now. You know, in verse 4, back to 2 Peter, says, he did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. They're going to be there on that great judgment day. So, just to know God did not even spare angels, he brings judgment on them. But he's certainly going to judge rebellious people here and false teachers, because he did way back then. Our second example is in verse 5. And he did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Second example, the ancient world. They are called Antediluvians. Antediluvians. These people that lived before the flood. That's what they call them. And he's saying that ancient world in the days of Noah before the flood, he only spared Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. He brought in the flood. Why? On the world of the ungodly. Everyone else was ungodly. Isn't it hard to understand it? Everyone was ungodly. So if he did that, be sure God will judge sin today. See, we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, thank God. We're saved. That's why a person has to be born again and give their life to Jesus in order to escape judgment. Because God judges sin. All of this and we see this, is because of sin. Even in verse 4, it says these angels even sin. Sin must be blotted out from us. That was always the case. If not, you will be judged. So there has to be this cleanser strong enough to wash away our sin. And guess what that is? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. People can't be good enough. They have to be born again. We see the seriousness of sin. Today in this age of grace, God gives people a chance to repent, but God is soon going to be judging the earth. He cast down angels. He judged people in the days of Noah. Let's turn to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Verse 1 and 2, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Don't be jealous or envious of what they have, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. That's going to be their end, but look at verse 9 and 10. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, he will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Their end is destruction. Now, he did not spare the ancient world. Let's go back to Genesis 6 again. We saw what was going on. And what was going on in Noah's time. Genesis 6 again. So we read verses 1 to 4, how these angels came down and these women bore giants in those days. But then we look at verse 5 of Genesis 6 and we see, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God looked down and said, the world is sick. All they think about is doing evil things. Then we see verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And so he said he's going to destroy them. So judgment came. Only Noah and his three sons and their wives were saved. And guess what? The flood came. The flood came. Even though all of the world except for them didn't think it would. Just like today, people don't believe you. Can you imagine building an ark out in the desert and never have seen a flood and they're asking, what is he doing? Well, we're building an ark because the world's going to be flooded. Must have called him, you're crazy, mocked him. But he had faith. And it tells us then in verse 5, Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached God's judgment, no doubt with his mouth, but also with his action. He was building that ark. He was told judgment is coming, and his mind, his heart, other people would say, no way. But he believed God and he built that ark. That's the way we are to be in this world today. Not waver, believe God's word, go on living for the Lord. We know time is short. And by our actions, we're preachers of righteousness. People see us in our faith and we don't waver and we give God the glory. And people see that in us and we're preaching righteousness. We testify of God's word that we really obey it. By his building of the ark, He was preaching God's judgment. Every day, putting it together, no doubt people would come by and mock. Maybe the teachers even took kids out on a field trip to watch Noah build his ark. Hey, there's this guy out there building this huge thing. Let's go see him. But he didn't quit. He didn't stop building the ark. We don't stop living for Christ. We believe these things, all of them in the Bible. Third example is in verse 6. And he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly. He made an example of those who after Sodom and Gomorrah would do those same things. They will be judged. You see that? He made them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly. God doesn't change. He doesn't accept fornication or homosexuality or all these things, the sexual immorality that goes on today. He doesn't wink at it. He says, here's an example of how I treat that. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sexual perversion. They changed God's plan for man and woman. And God says, this is what I instituted and ordained, and that's why I physically made man and woman different, so that the pattern would be this way. Without a man and a woman, we wouldn't be here today. Because you need a man and a woman. Society would stop without a man or without a woman. It would end. The world would end. Eventually, people would die off. There'd be no more new ones. That's God's plan. You know, and here's the thing. People think that this is a modern-day hate effort on the part of Christians to share what God has to say about that, that we don't love everyone. Of course we love everyone. God loves everyone. We love everyone so much, and God loves everyone so much, that he points us and everyone to Jesus Christ, so that you can be forgiven and go to heaven. There are people that have all kinds of addictions and desires and things in their life that might cause them to sin. But the answer is, don't sin. You see? We have to stay away from it. If I'm a kleptomaniac, which means I have a tendency to steal, and I become a Christian, you know what the answer to that is? Don't steal anything. Just don't do it anymore. That's all. See, it's that simple. We believe what we believe because it's in God's Word. Not because we came up with it. We're just saying we believe God and his word. And he says that sin, like all sin, will be judged. So you must turn from it. And it's that simple. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't. So they were destroyed. And he says, that's your example. That's what's going to happen. There's a lot of people that say, a lot of churches today accept sexual immorality and homosexuality. The problem with that is God doesn't. It'd be like a person, if you're a doctor, a person coming into your office today and has these symptoms and you diagnose it and say, well, you have cancer, you have this or that, and if you don't do something about it, you're going to die. Now, he's not telling them that because he hates them, is he? Now, you might hate the doctor when he tells you that. You know, like we had a daughter who could not just sit in a dentist chair. She would always bite his fingers, you know, if he put his hand in her mouth. But that's not wanting to get help. So there's a lot of people that hate the doctor or the dentist, but they're doing what's best for you. And God says, here's the way to live to it that's best for you and physically best for you. Now, some people don't like that. We believe that's God's word and that's the right way to live, but not because we hate people. It's because we share that because we want people to go to heaven. It's really out of love. The messenger of love always gets a lot of flack. You know, you get a lot of flack because you love people and you say something. If you don't say anything, people love you. Well, I love being around this person because they never say anything bad about me. Well, the Bible says rebuke, turn someone around, exhort, instruct people in righteousness. If we don't do that, we're not believing in the Bible, because the Bible says to do that. We're to do that. It says to go and restore one that's falling into some sin, but do it in the spirit of meekness. So if we take the easy road and don't say anything to a person because we know they're going to say, hey, don't judge me, well, forget what they say. Obey what God says to do, or we're not doing our job. But they need to know we're doing it because we believe in God. And here's the problem: if you don't believe him, not me, it means you don't want to believe God. He's giving you an example of what he did before, and he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't want you to be like that. So that's why he's sharing this with the people. You know, so he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sexual perversion. We know what went on there. You know, in Genesis it tells us they were exceedingly wicked and committed sin against the Lord. When they saw, let's turn to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 20. The Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, it was sin, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. But they were depraved. You know, Genesis 19, verse 4 and 5. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot when he went in there and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? He brought these men into his house. Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. He says, bring them out so we can have sex with them. And God says, they're evil. They're going to be destroyed. Again, it's covered again in Jude. People say, where in the Bible is that? Well, throughout the Bible, it's in there. 1 Corinthians and Galatians about sexual immorality. Corinthians about homosexuality. But look at, and in Genesis we see that. And in the law, Leviticus. But look at Jude again, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. This is very clear. Jude, verse 7. How he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. That would scare me. It's specific. It was because of their sexual immorality. We know it was homosexual activity. They're going to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. And we see that in Romans chapter 1, if you read that, what they did, man with man, woman with woman, it's very specific. So anyone that says, well, I don't see that in the Bible, then you know they're not reading the Bible. Because if you read Romans chapter 1, it's very specific. So the point is, 2 Peter is telling them, God looked at all their actions as sin, and rain fire and brimstone on them, no doubt he's going to do the same today. God destroyed them as an example each time. So here's what's going to happen to you, you know, if you do this. And God destroyed them. And he's going to judge the unrighteous today. But you notice in verse 7 it says, he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. He saved just Lot, righteous Lot. He was oppressed by that filthy conduct of the wicked. Abraham's nephew, Lot, God, he was saved because he was grieved at what was going on. And you are today, and many of the sins going on today. God, you know, we see that God saved Noah. from an evil world, and he delivered Lot from a perverted city. Those who stand in truth will see the salvation of the Lord. You know, those who reject the truth will suffer their consequences. Lot was oppressed with the filthy conduct. In the old King James Version, it says he was vexed. His spirit was vexed. Do you ever feel uneasy in a certain situation? Like, ugh, this is not a very good situation to be in. It's because of the filthy conduct around him. It wore him down, oppressed him, as it does us today. But that doesn't mean we give in or stop sharing. We stand for righteousness, we live right, and when we get a chance to share, we do. And one day, we're going to be in heaven. Lot was among those. As Christians, we are called in the world, but not to be of it. You know that Jesus prayed for us to keep us in this good place? Let's turn to John chapter 17. John 17. 17 verse 15. Speaking of we believers that would come after him. I do not pray, he's praying to the Father, that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. He says, Father, I'm not praying that you just take them out of the world. That would be the easy way, wouldn't it? If all at once we, and we're gonna, that's gonna happen in the rapture. But that's a one-time thing. But he says, I'm not praying that you should take, as soon as a person is a believer, hey, get them out of there. Then we'd all be in heaven. He's saying, just keep them from the evil one. Because they're in it, but they're not of it. And we're to just stand fast. But Lot, it tells us in verse 8, he was tormented from day to day. You know, if we feel oppressed, it's because of the evil around us. And it's probably good that we feel oppressed. But the answer isn't in joining in their sin or compromising or condoning it. That's not the answer. Because people need light. They're in darkness. You see, it's not getting apathetic and just giving up hope. Saying, oh, forget about it. You know, and this is what causes people to go to a place where they're going to hear a liberal message. They just don't want to bother with it. I want to hear a message that's easy on the ears and not convicting. See, he's putting down false teachers here because he says there will be these teachers where they're going to take the easy road and say, well, this is okay to do. We have to be very careful who we listen to, even as Christians. You see, we don't get apathetic or give up hope. So, well, you know, there's no judgment over there. Well, if there isn't judgment, then you're not teaching the Bible. And we're not really judging. God judges. We're just fruit inspectors. Someone has to be the messenger of someone being in sin. If I was never told, I would never know. You wouldn't be here today. You know, if there weren't these teachers that teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, undiluted, so that we know sin is sin and evil is evil and good is good. So we continue to teach and preach the truth and the return of Jesus, get deeper into the Word of God. Because verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He will take care of us and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So God, the Lord knows how to deliver us. He knows how to keep us. He delivered Lot, Noah, and these angels were even destroyed. Things may be getting more and more evil here, but we need to learn from the past that God is still on the throne and this will be judged. He will deliver the believer. And at the rapture of the church, that'll be great. We'll be the ones taken out. I won't have to put up with this anymore. See, the believer has a reservation in heaven. The unbeliever are reserved for judgment in hell. We have the better reservation. Now, as I was reading this week, something hit me. This thing fell off the ceiling. No, something struck me about it. He gives us three examples. And I thought it was very interesting because the three examples he gives are the three things that people are doing today. First one was the angels cast down to hell. They just didn't believe God. Apparently, maybe like we read, Lucifer thought he wanted to be higher than God. They just count God as below them. Just like people today. Self-centered, God is not in their thoughts. So they were cast down. God won't put up with that. The second thing, people deny a flood. Because that would be a miracle, right? So that's a story. That's a fable. You don't really believe there was a flood all over the earth, you know. Maybe scientists can prove there wasn't or was something else. We know there was a flood over the whole earth, but they doubt God's word. They just deny that God can perform miracles. So they deny the power of God, who God really is. And the third thing, Sodom and Gomorrah. Same thing today. Sexual immorality, rampant. And so these three examples are really examples to us today. Don't be in any of those places, because God judged that before. You better get right with God. You better believe God, who he is, and you're lower than him, and you better live right and not in sexual immorality. So that's what just struck me today. That's kind of what happens today. But thank God, he knows how to deliver us. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for loving us and taking care of us and delivering us from evil. God, I pray that we would never listen to false teaching, that we would have that discernment that would always draw us closer to you, whatever we hear, the truth. Lord, we don't want to lower the bar. We want to challenge ourselves and raise the bar so that we grow closer and closer to you. Lord, we thank you for your word, your light. Your word gives us light. And as we have a time to pray now, please prompt us what to pray for. And God, we do lift up Phil and Didi. We thank you that you brought them here today. We pray you would comfort their hearts and that you would let them know how much we love them and how we've been praying for them as a church and individually. God, it's good to have the fellowship of the saints and time of prayer. We know it's very difficult when you lose someone in your life. And sometimes there's darkness or not understanding, but thank God we have your word, which is truth, and we know we get through things with you, even though it doesn't seem it at the time. Please bless them and remind us all to pray for them tonight. And I pray, Lord, that they are just comforted, have a peaceful night, and through their grief can somehow hear your voice, sense your presence, and draw close to you. And I pray that you, the God of all comfort, will comfort them so that they can also comfort others. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.